Hi, this is Social Media Today with Maggie Fox. Glad you could join us. This is the official podcast of the Social Media Collective. So thank you for joining us on today's issue of the Social Media Today podcast. Today we're joined by Rohit Bhargava. He is the Vice President, Interactive Marketing at Ogilvy Public Relations. Welcome, Rohit.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. And fellow member of the Social Media Collective, someone really active in the social media space. He's got a really widely read blog called Influential Interactive Marketing. And Rohit, why don't you tell us where you're at and how you came to social media?
Sure, absolutely. Well, like a lot of people, I am probably progressed from the interactive marketing world into social media. I think they're still pretty closely linked. But my background has been mostly on the advertising side, in fact, so interactive advertising. I'm with a public relations company right now, but as most people who've kind of worked with me know, it's what I do on a day-to-day basis is much more in the marketing realm than probably public relations. I'm a member of the digital influence team here at Ogilvy, which is a team that is dedicated to the cross-section of interactive marketing, public relations, social media, and really helping our clients to understand how they can get involved and understand what people are saying about them.
Can you give us some sort of insight into the marketplace in terms of who your clients are and their sort of awareness of social media and the kinds of things they're asking you for?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it's been social media has been an interesting category for a lot of people in the marketing world, particularly if you're in an agency, because of this sort of battle that's been going on about where it sits. There's a lot of social media specific marketing groups now. There's interactive marketing agencies, which we're starting to branch out into online development and search marketing and email marketing. And now it seems like there's all of these micro niche categories of marketing. Coupled with that, you have all of the ad agencies and the media planning agencies. And so it's really confusing as a landscape. And I think a lot of our clients right now are kind of in between that in terms of their own teams and in terms of the multiple agencies that they're working with. And social media for a lot of them has kind of been this category that doesn't necessarily fit into advertising, although there are ad buy components of it. Doesn't necessarily fit into PR, although that's been a very logical progression for a lot of them because it's influencer-based. And a lot of PR is focused on influencers, whether they're journalists or whether they're individuals and grassroots kind of efforts. So I think that the questions that a lot of our clients are asking are probably the same as what a lot of people in any marketing industry are asking, which is, what are people saying about me? Who matters? And how do I find those people that matter? How do I connect to them? And how do I either become part of the conversation or, in some cases, influence the conversation without getting flamed for it or without doing something that that doesn't fit into a community? So I think that's the big question on a lot of brands' minds, which is, all these people are creating content, they're talking about me, it's happening out there. What should I do about it and what shouldn't I do about it?
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, obviously Ogilvy has a methodology approaching that sort of a thing. Can you share a bit of that with us? Just sort of the process that you tend to go, if I'm a client and I come to you and I ask this question, these questions, what would you say to me?
Well, I think, it's what we try and do is boil it down very simply. So at the most basic level, the first thing we need to do is figure out what's being said out there. So monitoring is kind of the basis that we start with. We're a very research-driven agency. That's kind of the heritage of Ogilvy, to find the insight through doing the research, identifying where that kind of central message should come from, what's the key point, and then building out a marketing strategy from there. So because of that, we take the same approach when it comes to digital influence as we explain it to our clients. So we have a variety of methodologies and tools. We work with all the big blog monitoring software companies that you would be familiar with to understand how we can measure conversations that are happening out there, who's saying what, and identifying who are the influential people. I think from there, the next thing that we try and do is figure out what are the points when a brand can participate authentically. And at this point, it's not about controlling anything. It's about being part of the community, because you need to build a base from which you can start from to actually relate to people out there who are already talking about these things that you care about and maybe even talking about your brand. And then kind of the top level of that is leading a conversation or being one of the more influential voices in a conversation. And that's ultimately the point that a lot of brands want to get to, but it's not something that we go in for every brand and say, this is the point that you need to be at. Because for some brands, just being part of the conversation or even just knowing what's happening is enough of a point that they need to get to for now. So everybody's end goal is not to lead the conversation about their brand. I don't think that we go in with that mindset.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say, sort of generally speaking, is the awareness level within a lot of the companies you're dealing with? I mean, do they get it, or have they kind of heard about it and they're not sure how important it is?
I think it varies. I mean, we have one of the luxuries of the team that I work in is that it's not vertical industry based, which means that on a daily basis, I'm not just working on one industry vertical or another. I get a good variety of clients in, you know, for example, the tech industry versus government being in D.C. Government associations, obviously, are a big category here just because of the region. I don't think that there's a hard and fast rule about, like, this many people get it or this many people don't. I think there's a lot of interest right now simply because a lot of our clients are seeing media coverage out there. They're seeing that perhaps when they're going off on Google and checking out their brand terms or their name terms, they're seeing conversations happen out there. There's a lot of interest in trying to understand what it is. Coupled with that, of course, are the media horror stories. So there's a lot of reluctance from the part of a lot of clients to say, "Oh, we need to be careful about this because we see it as a dangerous area." So I think that a lot of people are the interest level is high. I think the awareness is much higher now because of the amount of coverage that's been out there. I think that the fear factor is still very real,
should be in many ways.
Yeah, I think so. You know. And I think that, you know, part of our job is to demystify that a little bit and say, look, there are ways of participating in this that we can manage. It's not a free for all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I mean, you need to plan. You shouldn't just leap in.
Right.
You know, I think that's an important point that a lot of companies, I find they're either in two boats. They're either in the I'm never going to do that because it's way too scary and totally foreign, or oh sure, we can do it. Let's just set up a blog. You think, you know, there has to be some planning there.
Yeah, that's right.
Rohit, you also coined a phrase that's come to be used quite commonly now, actually, called social media optimization. Can you explain to us the concept behind that?
Yeah, sure. It was basically what I was on a phone call with a client, and I was just talking about one of the main impacts that was kind of driving people finding their content and the fact that their content was linked in different social media sites. And what we started thinking about was that search engine optimization was such a sophisticated field and has been around for quite some time now, the idea that people need to optimize their content in order to list more highly on search engines. But this idea of optimizing your content so that it would be more easily shared across social networks wasn't really a big concept in the market yet. And so the social media optimization really came about because we were looking at it and thinking, and I was just thinking that there needs to be something broader than just an effort focused on how you rank on search engines. And so my view of social media optimization was that it was really an in-between search and more of a word-of-mouth type of effort, which is helping people share what they think about you, and hopefully it's positive. So social media optimization for me was about optimizing the content that you have online so that it can be passed from person to person.
Mm-hmm. And so how does that typically unfold, or how would you typically recommend it unfold?
Well, there's a variety of ways. I mean, a lot of people have really kind of focused entire practices and now even entire agencies on building this out. I've been on a couple of panel discussions with folks, and the interesting thing is that everybody seems to have a slightly different approach to it, ranging from the more aggressive sort of link baiting strategies all the way through to the more reserved kind of ways of just simply adding little buttons to let people share your content. So there's a wide variety of ways of doing it, but I think at the very basic level, it's about it's partially about your interface design and making it easy to share your content. It's partially about some of the lessons that we've learned from search engine optimization in terms of how we structure content so that it's more easily listed on just about any site. And then I think it's about asking people and letting people transfer the information from person to person to bookmark it, and making that a key part of what you invite people to do when they see your content.
Just before we started recording, we were talking very briefly about a series of posts that have been sort of floating around the blogosphere the last few days. You know, are blogs dead? Obviously recognizing that a blog itself is extremely static, and it's really just a pulpit. And it's great if someone else has a blog, and you can all yell at each other from your pulpits, but it isn't really as interconnected and networked as some of the other features and functions online are, for example, Facebook. I mean, the functionality there for connecting with people is tremendously greater than that of a blog. Where do you see in your practice, and Ogilvy as an organization, where do you sort of predict all of this is going? You know, do you think blogging's dead? Are you focusing more heavily on use of RSS and the wonders it can bring in terms of sharing content?
Well, I think, I mean, to answer the first part of that, I definitely don't think that blogs are dead. I think that probably part of where that's coming from is a bit of overexposure on blogging. I mean, there's God knows how many, you know, 70, 80 million blogs now indexed, and I realize that a bunch of them are, you know, just open and never updated, but with spam blogs and with a lot of blogs talking about things that very few people might care about, it is kind of giving people this impression that blogs are not necessarily a credible source of media. But at the same time, you have a lot of blogs with people publishing, people in the same category as me who have thoughts about a particular topic, who are professionals in a certain area, but are not media, part of the media, but they're augmenting the media. Right, they're creating content that others are consuming, that others are learning from. You know, I'm not a columnist on a magazine, but I contribute to a variety of blogs through my own blog posts, and I publish my thoughts that way. And so I think that there'll always be a category for people who are blogging in that sense. And I think for companies, blogging offers a way of having your own soapbox in a non-self-centered way. And what I mean by that is having a real authentic personality out there and having an individual or a series of individuals who are sharing your company's viewpoint not only lets you have a viewpoint out there, but when something happens, when a crisis hits, you have a forum from which to put your opinion out there that's not the official spokesperson necessarily. It's a very authentic platform that you can use to share your company's point of view in a more authentic way, and perhaps a way that people are more likely to trust.
So, where do you see the future of social media in 3 or 4 years? I mean, if you have thoughts.
Yeah. Well, I think that the largest effect that we'll see is probably the death of the faceless corporation. I think that what we'll start to see with social media is that more and more companies will realize the value of having some amount of authentic dialogue with their customers, with their partners, and even as it relates to the media. And that's why I think that there's such a great relationship between what social media is doing for the art of communications and the field of public relations, which has been about influencing influencers and very much about the media out there. Because now, as the concept of media expands, I think that it's going to be, in another 3 or 4 years' time, it's going to be very interesting to see who's considered the media and how that practice evolves. Because there are some clients who, you know, having been in an advertising agency and in a PR agency, it's very clear that there are some clients who understand the value of public relations, and there are some clients who, if they're not paying for the ad units and putting them out there, they don't really get the value. And it's a very rough thing to try and explain to a client who is not used to the idea that unless it's obviously the front page article on the Wall Street Journal or something, which everybody kind of gets that that's good.
Yes, yes. That's
but
not
if it's
that's
other,
a no-brainer, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But if it's other types of PR, if it's word of mouth, you have some clients that still don't quite understand the value of that because they can't see it. They can't put an impression on it or measure it in the way that they're used to. And I think that over the next 3 or 4 years, we'll start to see better ways of measuring it and more clients that will understand the value of it, perhaps because they see better ways of measuring it, but also because they start seeing a bottom line effect that they need to attribute to something other than
that full page ad they took out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to measurement, do you think that we're going to get to the point where, the technology is available that can allow us to track many different metrics, but do you think we're actually going to get to the point where there's a really hard and fast ROI for a lot of these projects?
Yeah, I think that you will see an ability to measure that far more than you have been able to in the past. And I think that what will happen is what's already started to happen when you look at how brands are treating venues like television advertising versus some online advertising, which is that since online advertising has been growing, it's brought a whole new element of transparency and measurement to the game that advertisers just never had before. And now you have interactive reporting telling you what demographics people are and what they're clicking on and what the click streams are and where they're going to next and all of this rich data about what somebody's doing, and you're comparing that to impressions and sales volume off of other types of marketing and other types of advertising, and there's a gap between those two. And I think that as everything starts to move more digital, even how you're streaming television content, you'll start to get more measurements and more ways of tracking ROI so that marketers can get better data, they can get smarter about what people are doing and where to attribute certain sales leads. And I think that that's going to lead to, yes, more focus on ROI, but better tools to be able to measure it.
So is there anything else that you'd like to sort of talk about? Any topics that are really burning for you at this time?
I think the most interesting thing for me is how companies are really starting to embrace the individual voices, both within their organization and within their customer bases. And that's a really exciting place to be working because every media report that comes out, every story that comes out is talking about social media, it's talking about blogs, it's talking about online video. And as a marketing professional, to be focused on working in this area, I think, at this time, is a really exciting thing. I mean, for somebody like me who hopes to have another 20, 30 years in my marketing career, this is a great place to be at a great time. And I think that optimism, if you go to any one of these conferences or shows or any sort of place, I mean, it's not a dot-com bust kind of optimism. It's more of a, these things are actually cool and useful, and yes, everybody's trying to get bought out right now, and that's the new business model, but, it's an exciting time. And so I think that, anybody in marketing would do well to really pay attention to this area and start to get smarter about it, even if this doesn't happen to be your day job, so to speak.
Yeah, it's true. It is an exciting time. I sort of have a bit of a different perspective on the optimism, in that I kind of tend to find that people are cautiously, somewhat secretively optimistic. They don't necessarily go busting into an organization and say, we're going to change everything about the way you do business, because, of course, who would want to do that?
Right.
The answer you're going to get is no, but that once people sort of do dip their toes in the water, they begin to realize the goodwill that they've, for a company, for example, launching a corporate blog, 9 times out of 10 when we work with them, we see just such an outpouring of goodwill from their community of interest. It's absolutely astonishing. Like, sentiments you could not buy. And that's when we begin to say, this is probably going to change how they relate to you and how you relate to them and a lot of other aspects of your business. But it is an exciting time, as you say.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a very interesting conversation. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And we will return next Wednesday, of course, as usual. The podcast is released fresh every Wednesday with another interview with another member of the Social Media Collective. We hope to see you then. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Social Media Today with Maggie Fox, a weekly podcast discussion series featuring members of the Social Media Collective. We're a diverse group of bloggers, consultants, investors, journalists, and analysts who represent the web's best thinking on social media, marketing, and Web 2.0. To leave an audio or text comment, please visit our website at www.socialmediagroup.ca. James Kuhl is our podcast technician. Original music written and performed by Brad Hussey.